there's space for another chair. Look at that. Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's Ray Ray. He's your leader, Frank.
Ray Ray. All right. Welcome, Ray. Is this your first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday? Where have I been?
He just hasn't been here for the past 2 Sundays, 8 a.m.
Oh, okay. Good morning to 8 a.m. I've been doing this a long time at 8 a.m. All right. Good. Glad you're all here. Hey, so what's the blessing this week? Everybody out of school?
Yes.
No. I'm
homeschooled. You're homeschooled?
Yeah, I'm doing.
So you're not, like, done with your is Lobo Louie. Lobo Louie bobblehead. That's cool. He wants a what? No. It's time to wake up. All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. We're continuing our series in Lessons from My Father in the Book of Proverbs. And Adam, what'd you teach last week? Yeah, I know that, but kind of go over what you went over last week, just kind of briefly.
Oh, how wisdom is a treasure.
Wisdom is a treasure. Okay. Excellent. Well, you know, I got a story for y'all. This morning's message is called Commands and Blessings of a Loving Father. But when my daughters, when they were little, gosh, they must have been about a year old, they discovered this amazing phenomenon. Well, first, they learned to hold their own bottle. And I remember they would stand at the crib and they would be standing there at the rail and they have their bottle and I go in there and they'd be playing and then there's the time they drop their bottle and it fell on the ground and you know and they look and you know like every good dad I laugh and say too bad no I'd pick up the bottle and give it to them and they get it and then they will go and it fall on the ground again, and I thought, what's up with this? And I pick it up, and I give it to my daughter, and they drop it again. And what they were learning is cause and effect. If I drop this bottle, my daddy will pick this up. And they would do it over and over again, and then soon it became a game. And what's interesting in Proverbs, in this section, we're going to learn cause and effect, but I'm going to call them commands and blessings. God's going to give us command, and when we obey that command, there's going to be a blessing, a cause and effect. And I think this was my daughter's way of teaching their dad to play fetch. You know, just like, you know, how you throw a ball to a dog, he runs and gets it, you know. They make you do all these things. And I think you guys, when you're young, you teach your parents to play fetch, you know. And now that you're older, it's like, fetch me money, you know, or something like that. You know, yeah, fetch me a car. Fetch me, I need some new threads. Fetch me some clothes, you know. Here, I'll take you to the store and show you. Do you guys get more expensive as you get older?
Yeah.
Really? Is that what I got to look forward to?
Expensive, the cars start coming.
No, the cell phone, pretty cell
phone. Yeah, video game, and then it goes.
So I, as I get older, as an older parent, I look forward to poverty, right? All right, but there are many, as I said, many cause and effects in God's word, and we're going to learn about that. This commands and blessings, this is a spiritual law, just as gravity is a natural law. You know, gravity, you drop something or you throw something up, what's going to happen? It's going to come down. That's a natural law. Until you supersede that law, it's going to happen. And so that is true with God's commands and blessings. So as we, as a baby drops the bottle, let's pick up the bottle of obedience to the glory of God and let's reap his benefits. So let's look at chapter 3 and let's read. We're going to cover the 18 verses, hopefully. Okay, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For all the lengths of days, for the length of days and long life, and peace will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your hearts, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Let's look at the first command and blessings. The first command and blessing is living faithfully. Living faithfully. Let's look at have you noticed how God begins this chapter? What are the first two words? My son. Well, we have ladies in here in our class. Well, when you see that, put my daughter. And notice it's a tone of relationship. You have relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. It was a relationship that God found so important that he sent his son to die for you so that you can have a relationship with God. That's a pretty hefty price. That's giving all he has for you. That shows us how much God loves each and every one of us. That's a big price. Also, as we read these passages, we're going to notice a pattern in this. There's a command given and a blessing promised. And so, first of all, in this passage of commands and blessing of living faithfully, we're going to see two commands and two blessings. And so, the first command is, he says, my son, my daughter, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Now, the first of all, the purpose of teaching is to instruct the mind. You hear the word, and hopefully, you know, it doesn't like go through one ear and out the other, right? Yeah. You don't want it to go, oh, there it goes. I'm not listening. I'm not paying attention. God wants you to hear the word and process it so that you keep it in your heart. Because that's what transforms your mind, your body, your actions, is when you get God's word in your heart. So he says, my son, do not forget. That's a command. Hello, don't forget. Remember? God wants to instruct our hearts. Also, he says to keep my commands. You know, God told us to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, our whole being. And here, this is the sense that what he is telling us here, that we are to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, with all that we have. You know, Jesus was asked, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And, you know, and he said, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is pretty awesome. The greatest command.
Is the second one to obey your parents?
It should be. No, he says to love your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor could be your parents, because if you love your neighbor, of course you got to love your family. They're like really close neighbors. And also the first blessing, notice what it says. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. So if you do not forget God's commandments and you keep them in your heart like treasure, as Adam talked last week, it's going to prolong your life and give you prosperity. God promises to add quality to our lives. Quality to our lives. The hope of the future. The hope that you are going to heaven. That's quality. A hope and purpose in your life. God has a purpose for you, and it's up to you and him to discover what it is. Also, let's look at the second command. and verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. The second command, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Now, that's what's missing in our society a lot of times. Love and faithfulness. Being kind people, being considerate people to other people. In our schools, that's missing. In our churches, sometimes it's missing. In the workplace, it's missing. And God says, if you are a loving, kind, considerate human being, and you are trustworthy, faithful, you're going to win esteem in the sight of God and man. But who's the one do we want to please the most in life? God or man? Yeah, absolutely. When we're pleasing God, we may not always please other people. And that doesn't really matter. But God still wants us to be loving and trustworthy around him. Loving and kind, faithful. When you promise to do something, do it. When somebody makes fun of you, our first reaction is you want to give them a knuckle sandwich or cut them down. Say that again? Pop them in the face? Yeah. But God says to turn the other cheek, to love them. Now, you know, if somebody makes fun of me, I just take it and, you know, and I'll just tease them back. Don't take it so personally. You know, sometimes people tease you, you got to learn to be like a duck. You know what a duck happens when it gets wet? The water rolls right off. Learn to shake it off instead of taking it so personally. And you'll win favor. Okay, let's look at the second blessing. Notice what it says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. You know, have you noticed that nobody likes a liar or a cheat? And so when you live with these virtues of love and trustworthiness or faithfulness, you're going to win respect of others. Because you're going to discover that you're respectful and trustworthy. What a blessing. All right, let's look at the second thing in our study. We looked at the commands and blessings of living faithfully. Let's look at the commands and blessings of living by faith. You know, this passage that we're covering, I call it, it's classic Bible. It's a memory verse. I encourage you guys to memorize, especially verses 5 through 6. It's the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. This verse will get you through many dark days. Memorize it. Let's read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Wow. It's living with expectations. You know, when we live by faith, we live with an expectation of what God's going to do. And living by faith, let's face it, sometimes it's very hard. You know, I mean, think about it. It says, honor the Lord with your first fruits. You know, some of us are so greedy, we don't like even sharing a nickel with our brother or sister. And here God says, share your first fruits with me. And we'll talk about that later. That takes faith. But let's look at verse 5. The first command, there's three commands in this passage, and let's look at it. Three of overall of six. The third command is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, let me ask you a question. Why trust God? He created us. He loves us. That's a good reason. Why trust God? Because God is trustworthy. God is faithful. You know, I mean, see, I have the advantage that I'm older than you and I've been walking with the Lord with you. God has always been faithful. God has always delivered me from me most of the time, because sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. But God is faithful. He's utterly faithful. And, you know, things will happen in life, and this, like I said, this is a verse you ought to memorize. And you'll think, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to trust you in this. I don't know why this circumstance happened. I don't know why, you know, some of you, your parents might be divorced and you're still struggling with that. But you got to trust the Lord with all your heart. Things aren't going well at home, or something happens and you're at this, Lord, I got to trust you with all my heart. You know, sometimes we want to get angry and rebel. You know, well, nobody cares, you know that attitude. We've all felt that way. I felt that way. But we got to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Allow Him to make our paths straight. That's the promise. And so, but how can our faith grow? By reading the Bible, by coming to class, to church, to learn about God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. I encourage you to read your Bibles and learn. You know, pick a guy that becomes your hero in the Bible. You know, and, you know, like for me, at my age, I think of Caleb. You know, I'm not as old as Caleb was, but I love Caleb because when he was an old man, he didn't just retire. He didn't retire. He says, you know, how old was he when he went and claimed his land? Was he 80 or 40? I forget which. But I think he was like 80 years old, and he said, you know, I'm 80 years old, and I'm as strong as I was when I first came into the land, and I want my inheritance. And he went out, and he got his inheritance. He fought the enemies of God, and, you know, he didn't retire. I mean, I love that. You know, another thing that will encourage your faith is read the biography of other believers. You know, go to the bookstore and find a biography of somebody. That will encourage your faith. Especially those who have gone before us. I mean, they left this history for us so that we can be encouraged. Who's asleep? He's not asleep, he's praying. Hey, I know how you're feeling. I woke up late and showed up here late. So do those things. Also, in this command, it says, lean not on your own understanding. As I talked before, there will be things in your life and you're going to say, God, I don't understand it. God, why? I do not understand. And, you know, and those are reasonable things, because we are human. We are wrapped up in this finite body where God can see the whole thing. And you got to remember that. God sees the whole picture. God has his wisdom wrapped up in it. And, you know, a lot of times we just don't get it because we're here, or the circumstances has blinded us. And so we need to trust in the Lord and lean not on our understanding. And the other part of this command is, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What is the key word in that verse?
Acknowledge
him. Acknowledge? No, I think it's a littler word than that. All. All. How much is all?
All.
Man, you guys are good at math. It's all. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, you can start planning your future right now. How can you plan for your future? Well, you can say, Lord, you can start praying for the person God may give you to marry. And guys, pray for character qualities, not physical qualities. Beauty fades away, but a woman who fears the Lord shall endure forever. Quality, character. And likewise, ladies, don't pray for big muscles. Pray for a big, godly heart. Well, you know, I mean, you bring up a good deal. You need to be equally yoked. And what that means, the Bible, that's a command. It says we ought to be equally yoked. You should have the same, you know, this person ought to have the same spiritual values as you do. Yeah, I'm just giving overall principles. I'm not saying you can't date a Catholic. I'm not going to say that. What I'm saying is, does this person have the same heart towards God as you do? Because if they don't have the same heart and desire to please and worship God, then you're not going to walk in the same direction. And personally, from my perspective, I think you guys are like too young to be like dating. And the reason why I say that, because dating brings a whole complex box of emotions. It really does. I mean, when I met my wife, it was tough enough when we were like courting. It was tough enough, and we were adults. And then to be young teenagers and have all that. Well, he has a car, man. No. But overall, you need to have the same values. Do they go to church? Do they read their Bibles? Do they pray? Do they understand what the way of salvation is? And that's where Catholics differ from us, is that they don't have a biblical understanding of salvation. Is that they believe salvation comes through the sacraments of the church instead of by faith in Christ. But if she understands that, hallelujah. We move on. Is in all your ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge God in every decision. You know, last semester at school, you know, I pray, you know, they say there's no prayer in school. That's a bunch of bunk. God, help me with this test. You know, acknowledge Him. When you study, pray. God, open my heart to the things I need to learn. Yeah, exactly, you know. I mean, you know, God ultimately is the inventor of math, you know. We're just discovering God's heart and mind when we discover these natural things like math and physics and science. We just discover a part of what God has created in the natural world. But acknowledge God in all your ways. And now look at the blessing. The blessing is He will make your paths straight. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to be. You know, God wants to set our paths on a straight path. His light is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God doesn't want us to take the crooked path. He wants us to go the straight path, the certain and narrow path. You know, I think one of the most wonderful things about walking with God is we can walk confidently because God loves us and He is trustworthy. And that we could trust He's in control of our lives. And along the way, there may be pain, but that pain just doesn't happen for no reason. It happens to build our faith and character so that we could be a blessing to others in our walk with God. Because, you know, pain happens. It rains upon the wicked as well as the righteous. Some people just dwell in their pain and they just do not know why. Or they don't grow in character. And God wants us to grow in character and in faith. And so God has a plan for our lives and he desires that we stay on that path that we may glorify him through our lives. And now the fourth command is in that it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. That means stay away from evil. Don't even get near it. Don't even dabble in it. Because evil is a snare. It's like super glue. Have you got super glue on you?
Yeah, I'm
exactly. It's stuck. And that's sometimes what sin does. You become captive to it. And it's like, oh, I can't get this off. And when you take this, your finger apart, what does it do? It rips your skin. True. But that's what sin does. It rips us apart. It tears at our skin. We become slaves to it. And that's why we need to shun it and stay away from it. Trust me. Stay away. Do not be wise in your own eyes. James tells us, and James, they call that the Proverbs of the New Testament. He writes this, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom or under the control of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Where do envy and self-seeking exist? Confusion and every evil thing are there. But wisdom that is from above first is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, our wisdom must come from God. So that you, sometimes in our decisions, I encourage you, this is another verse to remember in James 3:16, is where to find what godly wisdom is. It's always other-centered. The problem with us, we love ourselves a little bit too much, so much that we become so self-centered, we don't consider others in our decisions. You know, as a dad, I have to consider my whole family. What's right and best. It can't be all about me. And so that means on my part, I have to be self-sacrificing. I have to, a lot of times, and as well as with my wife, we have to give up our desires and consider our children's desires. And sometimes in our decision-making is our decisions makes our kids a little bit uncomfortable. But that helps them grow in character and godliness. You know, one of the things is I love blessing my kids with stuff. And, you know, and they'll ask, Daddy, we want this. And I say, I'm going to say yes, but the timing is wrong. And a lot of times there are things that are good, but the timing is wrong. Like, for example, I think driving is a good thing. But if you're not of age to drive, it's a bad thing. You don't have the maturity level to be driving. And, you know, some of you would say, oh, yes, I do. I'm mature enough. I know how to drive, and I'm 10 years old. Well, that just proves you're not mature enough because you're not mature enough to obey the law. And that principle, you can carry it on into every aspect of your life. It could carry on to sexual activity. Sex is good, but there's a time and a place for it. It's when you're married. That's right. because you need to be mature age-wise, responsibility-wise, because what happens if you have a baby? I'm only 13 years old. You know, I mean, you're not responsible enough to take care of a child. You're not responsible enough to take care of yourself. There's a time and a place for things, and God doesn't prohibit things because he's no fun. He does it because he's wise, because he loves us. You know, we can't let our bodily functions dominate our hearts. We need the Word of God to dominate our hearts. And so there's a time and a place for good things, and sometimes we have to have the maturity and the wisdom to wait. To wait. And so, let's move on. Let's wrap it up. Honor the Lord with your wealth and your first fruits, the fifth command. Now, that takes faith. Giving to God takes faith because our nature is, I want the money for myself. I don't want to give to God. But you know what? Jesus says to put your treasures in heaven where neither a thief could steal, a moth could eat, or rust can destroy. You know, the stuff that I had when your age, do I still have it? I could think of one item when I was like 14 years old that I still have. It's a little buck knife. But the rest of the stuff, it's gone. There's only a few stuff that I have. You know, things don't last forever. So invest your heart and your treasures and your money to God. And look at the blessing of it. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats and brims over with new wine, saying that, you know what? Everything belongs to God anyway. You know, the question is, how much do I tithe? How much do I give back to God? How much? 10? Let me correct your thinking. 100%. 100%, all of it belongs to God. Now, does that mean you give your whole paycheck? Does God demand that? No, God just says, give back to me a part of what I already gave you. Give back a little part of it what belongs to me. And you know, God in Malachi says, trust me in this. He says, put me to the test. And God will bless you. And finally, let's close out the commands and blessings of a loving father. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or daughter, or children. My children, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and a father, the child he delights in. God will discipline you. And sometimes he disciplines us because he lets us have our own way. Sometimes we don't want God to have our way. Well, sometimes we do. And God does, and you go, oh, man, this is a horrible decision. This is a horrible choice. And you're under the discipline of God. But God disciplines you because he loves you. You know, I hope your parents discipline you because they love you. You know, they don't want you to grow up to be bratty kids. They want you to grow up to be respectful and honorable. And that's what discipline does. It trains our hearts away from foolishness. Because sometimes we act like fools. And God wants us to act honorably and wise. And finally, he closes with, in verse 8, where am I? Verse 13, blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. It's kind of like in Proverbs, they personify wisdom as a lady, a graceful lady. And it's almost like wisdom is finding a bride. It says like that. So blessed the man who finds wisdom or a bride, and who gains understanding or understands her ways. For she is more profitable than silver, yields better return than gold. And that's true of a bride, guys. You find a godly woman, she's worth than any money that you can ever spend. She will benefit you over and over and over again. And that's, I trust these ladies' desires to be a blessing to the man that she marries. You know, in Proverbs 31, that's another chapter. You ladies, memorize that. Guys, memorize Proverbs 31 so that when you're old enough to start getting married and you're starting like, yeah, I'm ready to settle down, look for these qualities in a woman. But also in these qualities, remember grace, because we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. But look for someone who's pointed in these directions. And so she yields more precious than rubies, verse 15. Nothing you can desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honors. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and to those who lay hold of her will be blessed. God's wisdom leads to great wealth. Not necessarily you're going to have a big bank account, but you know what? If you're wise in the Lord, I think there's a general principle that you will do well with your money, because you're going to learn to temper your spending habits. You're going to learn to spend your money wisely, and therefore, as a result, you'll have a little bit more. When you get your paycheck, you're not going to run to the packaged liquor store and drop $20 on worthless booze. You know, blow your money on stupid things, and you will save your money for better things. Hopefully you'll use your money, as we said, to honor the Lord with your first fruits, to help build the kingdom of God. That is the most important thing in life, guys, is building the kingdom of God through your life and through your faith, by sharing the gospel with others, and by, you know, K.P. Yohannan is here. If you ever had a chance to hear K.P., he tells most extraordinary stories about native missionaries in India, and how we can support those folks in building the kingdom of God. And so with that, let's close. But let's allow our Heavenly Father to fill our bottles with the pure milk of His Word, so we can delight ourselves in Him as He delights Himself in us. And we can learn the cause and effect of His commands and blessings. Let's obey God and see what God does. He desires to bless us. There's always blessings in obedience to God. Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your kindness. I thank You for this time together. I pray that You would fill our cups overflowing with faith. That cup of overflowing faith will affect the world around us. It would encourage our parents, our brothers and sisters. It will spill over to our friends and the rest of our family, our neighbors. That, Lord, that we would be those who are quick to obey, and Lord, that we would bask in the fruit of obedience, the blessings of obedience. Let that be true of our hearts today. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a good week.